insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdu wa thana' lillahi rabbil alameen. Thumma salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibi qulubina abil qasim al mustafa muhammad wa ala ali baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin la siyama baqiyatullahi fil alameen ruhi wa arwahul alameen liturabi maqdamihi al-fida. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome again to our program. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the understanding of a few more of his verses. First, let's hear the verses.
ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَٰؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ دِيَارِهِمْ تظاهرون عليهم بالإثم والعدوان وإن يأتوكم أسارى تفادوهم وهو محرم عليكم إخراجهم أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وما الله بغافل عما تعملون أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة فلا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينصرون.
For those who haven't been listening, in the previous session we were discussing verse 85, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us another of the disobediences and the disrespects that was done by the Jewish tribes. And this time, unlike the previous cases, the people who are directly addressed with this particular disobedience are the tribes living outside of Medina. The disobedience is this. In verse 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that one of the pledges that was taken from Bani Israel was, and as we said, this is a general principle in all religions from Prophet Adam, which was the first human being on earth, this was a law that we are not allowed to kill one another without reason, obviously. If someone kills somebody else, then that's a different story. But one is not allowed to kill a fellow human being without reason, without a valid religious justification. Like the cases where there's the death penalty in for some of the crimes, and issues that have been explained in extended fiqh books that people can refer to. So anyhow, that's the general principle. One is not allowed to kill a fellow human being. So that was a pledge that was taken from Bani Israel. The other thing is, if a person has rightfully come into the possession of a house and land, and they are living and cultivating that and benefiting from that, one is not allowed to go over and kick them out of their property and make them leave and force them out. Now, what happened was the Jewish tribes outside of Medina, there were two of them, Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza. They each chose one of the Mushrik Arab tribes, Khazraj and Aus, as an ally, and the result of it was that every time Khazraj and Aus had a battle against one another, Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza would have to join, and they joined based on their contract. They willingly joined, and they ended up killing one another as well. Not just the mushrikeen, they killed one another as well, and they forced some of their own people out of their homes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that in verse the beginning of verse 85. Then there was another interesting point about that story that after that war would come to an end, some of these Jewish people from both tribes would be captives at the hands of the mushriks or the Jews themselves. So what they would do was that these Jewish tribes, they would go and pay for one another's captives and free them in the name of practicing the law of the Jewish people, the laws that were revealed to prophets before them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, "Are you believing in part of the book and denying and defying another part?" So we explained this is very dangerous. It's not just not practicing one and practicing the other law. In that case, if it was only practicing one and not practicing the other, then one would be encouraged, actually, good job. It was good of you that you practiced this. Now try to practice the other one. You wouldn't get condemned for doing that. You would be actually encouraged for practicing part of it. And then you'll be encouraged and say, okay, now that you've done this part, go on, push harder. You're going to be able to practice the other part as well. But in this verse, the language is, what are you doing? Are you believing in part of the book and defying and denying the other part? So it seems like it's not just not acting according to law, it's much more than that. It is disregarding the laws as the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. First, it seems like, you know, the first point that we notice is that since this was a contract, they had become allies of these mushrik Arab tribes. All right, this was going on for a number of years, God knows how many years, but before the Holy Prophet came, and Aus and Khazraj became, both of them became Muslim, and they became friends, and they stopped fighting one another. Before then, this was going on, and the Jewish tribes were killing one another. For that we know, or that's a sign that we know, this was not something that, you know, it slipped once, okay? Sometimes we commit a sin, but it's not in this, you know, it's not like this that I'm constantly committing the sin, and it's actually absolutely fine for me to commit sin. I don't feel like I have to act according to this. Sometimes it just slips. You know, I want to act, I want to practice, but I cannot control my desires at point. It's bad, but it's a lot worse if one actually is completely negligent of the law, okay, purposely, just being careless about the law. When one is careless about the law, that means that their belief in the law is weak. Now, there's another point that when we look at, it's actually even more clear, and that's going to be an even more interesting point. If you remember in the previous session, we had mentioned there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. How is it that the Jewish tribes, they would fight one another, kill one another, all right, force one another out of their properties, and then when the war would come to an end, right after it, they'd go free one another. Those same people that I would, you know, if I were one of those Jewish, the same people that I would cause their captivity, I would go and pay and free them. This was a practice that was going on. Again, we get from the verses that this is something that didn't just happen once. It's something that was going on. All right, this was a habit. This was a practice that was going on for a number of years. So how is it? If they didn't want to practice the laws, then why did they practice this one? If they didn't like paying their property, if they didn't like losing property, then why were they paying in this case? Why are they practicing this part of the religion? How does that conform? You know, how is that? It seems like actually the reason was this, that amongst themselves, the Jewish people, they realize there's benefit in being the ally of these mushrik tribes. Okay, there's a consequence to that, and that is that we've got to fight one another, but that's okay. This is the way they fought. That's okay. We'll kill one another, you know, that's okay. It's a law of the religion, but it's okay. So this is one aspect that they saw benefits in that, and they were like, okay, the consequences are fine. That's okay that we go against this law and our religion. But then they realize that the consequence of that means that they're going to be killing one another. Other than that, they're going to be captivating one another. Now, if a person has already died, then they've died. You know, there's nothing you can do for someone that's dead already. But for people who are captive, all right, you can free them. So this policy was taken amongst and was adopted by the Jews, that will go and free our captive people. So if we, you know, this was done by the people that were not captivated. Why? For this purpose. The philosophy was this, that if this is a policy amongst us, now this time I'm not a captive, but next time if I turn to be a captive, then the policy is there, they're going to free me as well. So actually, it was based on interest. It was based on personal interest. So basically, actually, the people, the Jewish tribes, they were not practicing the law of their religion as, you know, as a law. If one wants to practice the law of a religion, if that's what's important, if listening to God, being obedient to God is important, that's what I want to do, then it doesn't make a difference what the law is. I'm going to be practicing that. All right. But when it's based on interest, the ones that I like to, the ones that are beneficial to me, I'm going to practice them. The ones that are not, I'm not going to practice them. And that's what Bani Israel were doing, and they're being condemned. And the sign for not practicing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws as an obedience to Him, and as, you know, with the reasoning behind that practice being practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the sign of that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse, that do you believe in part of the book and defy another part? If people are, you know, willingly, knowingly, and continuously just picking and choosing the laws, that shows that this person actually is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why this is extremely dangerous. This shows that a person internally, in their heart, at least does not believe in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of tawheed, has got different levels. One of those levels is at-tawheed fi al-rububiyyah at-tashri'iyyah. Okay, that I believe that the only being that has the right to make laws for me and allows and tell me what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not, and the one that I have got to listen to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have that belief, then it doesn't make a difference what the law is. I'm going to be practicing that. So if I'm picking and choosing, that means that faith is not there. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does that, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So what is the requital of those? Who do that except disgrace in this life? And on the day of resurrection, they shall be consigned to the severest punishment. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And at the end, it says, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. This is a very important point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized on numerous occasions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not oblivious of what you do. He knows exactly what you're doing. And don't think you can fool God by practicing one of the ahkam and not practicing the other law, thinking that you're going to be rewarded for that law that you practice. If the reason why one has practiced that is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them, then that doesn't deserve any type of reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly the intention of the people. Inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to practice this and to keep away from what He has warned us in this verse. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu. سبحانك يا من لا شريك له سبحانك يا من لا شريك له